Gatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kantinamo, Sute, Taptakan, Shinagorangi, Radhe, Brinda, Vineshri, Prishubhanu, Sudadevi, Pranamami, Hari Priye, Vanchakapa, Trubhyascha, Kripa, Sinubhyevacha, Patidanam, Bhavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo, Namo Namaha, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Pranitananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda Jaya jaya Sri Chaitanya jaya Nityananda jaya Dvaita Chandra jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya jaya Sri Chaitanya jaya Nityananda jaya Dvaita Chandra jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 4, Srimadavendra Puri's Devotional Service, Text 116. Elagi Putri Lena Brahmane Rastane. Brahmana Kahila Sava Boga Vivarane. Translation: when the Brahmin priest was questioned in this matter, he explained in detail what kind of foods were offered to the deity of Gopinath. So this is the description of Sri Madhavendra Puri going to visit Premuna, where Gopinath is situated. And his deity is, what's the name of Madhavendra Puri's deity? Gopal. So he wants to find out what kind of foods are offered so he can offer the same foods to his Gopal deity. Sanjaya Boga Lage Shira Amrita Keli Nama Dwarasa Amrita Patre Bari Amrita Samana. So what does Amrita mean?
Yes.
Amrita Keli? Amrita Keli, Nama. And what does Sandhyaya mean? Sandhyaya? What's that? No, Sandhyaya, Dhyaya. There's an arti called Sandhyaya arti, Sandhya arti. So what does Sandhya mean? What's that? What time? Evening, yes. Sandhyaya means in the evening. And Shira? Sweet rice. After some years we're even learning Bengali. We don't even know it. The Brahmin priest said, in the evening the deities offered sweet rice in 12 earthen pots. Because the taste is as good as nectar, Amrita, it is named Amrita Keli. Gopinatha Shirabali Prasida Namayara Pritivite Ache Boga Kahan Nahi Ara. What does Pritivite mean? Pritivite? What's that? All over the world. Yeah. Pritivite Ache Yata Nagarati Gram Sarvata Prachara Sarvatra Namat Prachara Hibernam. What does that mean? Prithivite ache nagagrade gram. Yes, in every town and village the name of Lord Chaitanya will be known. Prithivite ache nagagrade gram. The sweet rice is celebrated throughout the world as Gopinath Shira. It is not offered anywhere else in the world. Hena Kali Se Boga Takura Lagila Shuni Puri Goshani Kichu Mani Vicharila. What does Shuni mean? Learn all these words that way. Shuni means hearing. And Boga? Food, yes, food. And Kichu? Kichu. Kichu. Something. Mani? Within the mind. So while Madhavendra Puri was talking with the Brahmin priest, the sweet rice was placed before the deity as an offering. Hearing this, Madhavendra Puri thought as follows. What's the word for hearing? Shuni. Shuni, yes. Ayat ayachita shira prasade alpa yadi pai swara jani taiche shira gopale lag lagai. So what is the word prasad mean? What kind of mercy? Some reason why you're taking shelter behind the plant. Must be a very merciful plant. What does alpa mean? What's that? Alpa. Little, yes. And swada? What's that? Swada. What is that? Every day, those who come to Mangalarti, they sing swada. Chatur vidashi bhagavat prasada swadana triptam swada ana triptam swadana. What's that? Tasteful, yeah, tasteful. Jani? What's it? No, it's jhana. This is jani. It means knowing. Lagai? It means I can offer. If I, without my asking, a little sweet rice is given to me, I can then taste and make a similar preparation to offer my Lord Gopal. E ichaya lajapana Vishnu smarana kaila hena kali bogasari arti bajila. So ichcha, desire, yes. By this desire, laja means shame, panya. Vishnu Smarana. What is Vishnu Smarana? Yes. Bhoga, the food. So Madhavendrapuri became greatly ashamed when he desired to taste the sweet rice and immediately began to think of Lord Vishnu. While he was thus thinking of Lord Vishnu, the offering was completed and the arti ceremony began. Arti dekiya puri kaila namaskara bahire aila kare kichu na kaila ara. So arti, what does arti mean? Arti? Yeah, the arti ceremony. Dekiya. What's that? Dekiya. Yari deka tarikaha Krishna upadesh amara agayahana tara ede guru tar hedesh. Yari deka, what does deka mean? Yari deka tarikaha, whoever you see, yari deka tarikaha kaha, you should tell them. Yari deka tarika Krishna upadesh. You should tell him about the instructions that Krishna has given. Yari deka tarikaha Krishna upadesh. Amara agaya guru hana tara edesh. In this way, become a guru and deliver your country. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what does dekiya mean? Yes, whoever you see. Puri kaila namaskara bahire aila. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopina Kujai. So what does Bahire mean? What's that? Outside, yes. Kare, to anyone. Kichu, what is Kichu? Something. Yes, anything, something. Kahila. To say. Ara means more. After the arti was finished, Madhavendrapuri offered his obeisances to the deity and left the temple. He did not say anything more to anyone. Ayachita vritti puri virakta udasa Ayachita paila kana nahi upavasa. So vritti means, here's ayachita vritti. What does vritti mean? Just say we have pravritti, nirritti. What's that? Path? No. Vritti means an impression. So something that makes an impression on you later on becomes, if it makes big enough impression, then it becomes a habit. So vritti here is translated as habit. And ayachita means begging. So ayachiti vritti, just like we have pravritti, so vritti means the impressions within the mind. So to cultivate impressions within the mind, material impressions, is called pravritti. And nirritti means to get rid of the impressions within the mind. So the path of nirritti is to negate material existence, and the path of pravritti mark is to create favorable impressions. So vritti means impressions. So we have vrittis in them. Everything we're experiencing is caused by the vrittis within the mind. So ayachiti vritti means to become accustomed to begging. And then kana, nashini, kana. Bhojana kana. This is in the, so it means eating, he eats. So Madhavendra Puri avoided begging. He was completely unattached and indifferent to material things. He would not beg. If someone offered him some food, he would eat, otherwise, he would fast. So ayachita vritti means accustomed to avoid begging. So I guess yachita means begging. Ayachita vritti puri virakta. What does virakta mean? What's that? Detached, yes. So unattached or detached. Udasa, indifferent. Ayachiti paila kana nahe upavasa. If not, so Madhavendra Puri, because he was detached, he avoided begging. He was indifferent. He avoided begging. Without begging, if he got something to eat, then he would eat. If not, he would fast. Purport. This is the Paramahamsa stage, the highest stage for a sannyasi. A sannyasi can beg from door to door just to collect food, but a Paramahamsa has taken ayachita vritti or ajagara vritti, does not ask anyone for food. If someone offers him food voluntarily, he eats. Ayachiti vritti means being accustomed to refrain from begging. And ajagara vritti, what does ajagara mean? Python, yes, it's python. What is this? Why is it called ajagara vritti? We don't practice that. Indicates one who is compared to a python, the big snake that makes no effort to acquire food, but rather allows food to come automatically within its mouth. In other words, a Paramahamsa simply engages exclusively in the service of the Lord without caring even for eating or sleeping. It was stated about the six Goswamis, Nidrahara Vihara Kadi Vijito, in the Paramahamsa stage, one conquers the desire for sleep, food, and sense gratification. One remains meek. One remains a humble, meek mendicant, engaged in the service of the Lord day and night. Madhavendra Puri had attained this Paramahamsa stage. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vajarane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Des Dharna. Bhagavad Gita Krishna mentions about eating in a number of places when he says, or these different activities. What is that first? Yuktahara viharasya yukta cheta sukaramasu yukta svatni vodasya yoga bhavati dukaha natyas natas tu yoga sti na chai kantamanashnata na chaiti svatni shilasya jagato naivacharjana. That a yogi does not eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little. One who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, work, and recreation can mitigate all the material pains by practice of the yoga system. So here it's chaiti, cha, iti swapna. Doesn't sleep, one who sleeps too much. Or jagrata. What is jagrata? Jagrata, jagrato, or jagrata? Yes. He stays awake at night. One who keeps night watch too much. So, one who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, working, recreation. So one, this is the recommended thing. One should eat what's necessary. One should not sleep in class. If you sleep in class, better to stand up. That this is meant so that we can do the necessary. Too much is not good. Ati or alpa, too little is not good. And Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Jagnashi shtasana shanto mujante sarvakil vishai bujante te tvagam papam ye pachat yat makarana. The devotees of the Lord, they're released from all kinds of sin because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for sense enjoyment, they verily eat only sin. So eating or anything is especially meant for sacrifice. But especially eating is always emphasized because we're in Maya because of our desire to lord it over the material nature and enjoy the material nature. And there's no activity that... eating is a basic activity. If one doesn't eat, he doesn't get the power to gratify his senses in other ways. In other words, unless one eats sufficiently, then there is no question of mating or defending. Maybe there's a question of sleeping. But even if you don't eat enough, it becomes difficult to sleep. Everyone has the experience that it's easy to sleep after you eat. I know some devotees who had some difficulty in sleeping, but so they decided the cure for sleeping was to have a big feast at night. They had bowls and bowls of pasta, and sure enough, it worked. The only problem is that you cure your sleeping problem, and then but your mating defending problem suddenly become very prominent. Because from lust comes anger. So as soon as there is one gratifies his lust in one way and increases it in another way, and then finally the result is anger, defense, whatever. So these are natural things. So if one wants to give up these eating, sleeping, mating, and defending problem, then the first thing to control is the eating problem. That's our philosophy, right? Jiva ado. The self-realization begins with the tongue. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabravad Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhehi Jivado Swayam Eva Sparatyada. That Prabhupada said, you'll be surprised that self-realization begins with the tongue. That according to what people are eating, that has a big effect on their consciousness. Generally speaking, you can tell a person by what he eats. Many times if we're preaching and we meet someone who's a vegetarian, then automatically they seem to be a little bit more receptive. And if you meet someone and they say, well, I'm a butcher, then you know it might be a difficult to convince them about Krishna consciousness. Unless they're a butcher and they don't like their job or something, then but if they say, I'm a butcher and I'm proud of it, then it may not be a very receptive person. And similarly, different persons are more or less characterized by what they eat, their mentality at least. Different cultures, they eat different things, and more or less you can tell their mentality. And you can tell, by their mentality, you can more or less tell what they're eating, and by what they're eating, you can tell what their mentality is. Therefore, eating is important to control, but here it says that the way of controlling it. Therefore, eating is important to control, but here it says that the way of controlling it, the best way of controlling it, is by getting some higher consciousness. Just like you said, the six Goswamis, they gave up their material opulence, first of all, it says. Tyaktva tornama shesha mandalapati shenim sadatu chava budvadina gunesha kau karunaya kopina kanta shito kopi bhavara samrita dilahari kolola magna moho Bande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Shri Jiva Gopalago. So Tyaktva Turnam Ashesha Mandalapati. The six Goswamis were not just ordinary persons off the street who came to Lord Chaitanya because they needed a good meal. No, they were actually aristocratic persons, highly elevated personalities. Sanatana Goswami, he knew Sanskrit, he knew Persian, he knew Arabic, he knew so many different languages. Rupa Goswami was an aristocratic person, very wealthy. Raghunath Das Goswami, his father was a multimillionaire. And they gave it all up, and they joined Lord Chaitanya, and they put on loincloths and went begging from door to door. But they didn't become depressed, always thinking about, we had a good life, but somehow or another we gave it up, and now we're in the forest somewhere begging, but, you know, maybe one day we can retire from our forest life and go back to the real life again. No, they gave it all up, but because they had higher consciousness, because they're always meditating on the transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, therefore they were merged into an ocean of transcendental happiness. So they gave up their eating and sleeping, not because they couldn't afford to eat and sleep, therefore they just figured, what the heck, better not to work, just give it all up. But they gave it up because they got higher, they were in a higher consciousness. And therefore their life as a mendicant was quite appropriate for them, because actually they didn't live in the material world, they were living on the spiritual platform. Therefore it says, although Raghunath Das Goswami was apparently eating only one little bit of buttermilk every other day, but because he was living in the spiritual world, three times a day he had a huge feast with Krishna and the cowherd boys. Therefore, on one platform he appeared very austere, but because he was living on another platform where there was unlimited happiness, therefore it was not a very difficult austerity for him. Unlimited sense pleasure. Therefore it says here, that Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Nativi Kolola Sanikrito Nidrahara Viharakari Vidrito Chatyantya Dino Chayo Radha Krishna Gunasmritir Madhurima Sandena Matvaliko Bande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Shri Jiva Gopalago. So Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Nativi. The six Goswamis were always engaged in chanting their rounds. They did more than 16 a day, by the way. But they did it very scheduled. Sankhya means they measured their rounds, they measured everything nicely. They did it in a regulated way. Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Nativi Kalola Sanikrito. Nidrahara viharakari vidrito. They gave up eating and sleeping. because Radha Krishna Guna Smritera Madhurima Nandena Sammohito. Because they were always enchanted by the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Because they were absorbed in the Krishna consciousness, therefore they were enchanted so much they forgot about eating and sleeping. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami Prabhupada used to say, sometimes at maximum they eat, they'd sleep for 1.5 hours a night. When they, you know, they got up late, it was 1.5 hours. And they, well, maybe they sleep for an hour and they have prasada for half an hour. And sometimes they would need, they'd forget about that. But the fact is that they were in the real world. This world where we're eating and doing other things. We think that this is the real world, you know, and that they were living in the an imaginary world, but somehow or another they were able to live there in such a way as they tolerated the eating and sleeping. No, actually the real world is not this world. The real world is when one enters into the spiritual platform of consciousness. On that platform, then there is actual sense enjoyment. On that platform, it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, yatra paramate chitam nirudam yoga sevaya yatra chaivatmanatmanam pashyanatmani tushati. Tushati means satisfaction. So when one's mind is actually focused on the transcendental platform, then he can actually feel real satisfaction. Tushati. Sukham. Sukham, happiness. Not only satisfaction, but sukham atyendrika yadtat. Then the senses are actually satisfied by real happiness, real sense pleasure. Sukham atyendrikam yadtat, buddhigrayam atindriyam. And the intelligence is actually able to control the senses. Buddhigrayam atindriyam. And when he comes to this platform, he knows that this is reality. Tatvataha. This is the actual real platform of experience. And gaining this, he thinks that there is no greater gain. Here in the material world, if someone offers us $1 million, or 10, here would be 40 million French francs, we think, how great, I've gained something. But actually, one who's awake to spiritual consciousness, he realizes that there is no gain, really. If you get $1 million, you're actually in difficulty, unless you give it to Krishna. Why are you in difficulty? Because if you buy something with it, then you'll become attached to whatever you buy. And when you become attached to whatever you buy, then you have to work hard to maintain it. And you'll always be in anxiety, it's going to be destroyed. So, you'll as soon as you get $1 million, you'll hanker for something, and that will cause you pain. And when you get what you hanker for, you'll be in pain because you'll be in anxiety about losing it. And sure enough, in the course of time, you'll lose it, and then you'll lament. So the $1 million, instead of becoming the cause of happiness, becomes the cause of all kinds of different varieties of distress. So, the idea that we've gained something, yes, we've gained distress. Unless one knows how to utilize it. Just like one time, Srivikrama Maharaj was talking to Prabhupada because they were staying at John Lennon's estate. And Srivikrama Maharaj said, you know, he said, he's fabulously wealthy, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, but he, you know, what's the use? Because he doesn't know how to utilize it. Therefore, on the transcendental platform, when one is actually enjoying transcendental happiness, then he thinks that there's no greater gain, because one is actually enjoying with transcendental senses, and enjoying with transcendental senses means that the enjoyment is always increasing. In the material world, it's yehi samsparshya bhoga dukha yonaya evate adyanta vanta konteya na te shuramate buddha, that an intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, which are due to the contact of the senses with their objects. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. So pleasures that have a beginning and end are not real pleasure. Real pleasure has no beginning, or has no end at least. So that spiritual platform, that's
a Paramahansa, he's on that platform enjoying his transcendental senses, and therefore there's no attachment to the material world and material sense enjoyment. So he can take the vow of ajagara vritti, or here it says ayachita vritti. He doesn't hanker for eating or sleeping, therefore he eats whatever is given to him just to maintain the body. But that can't be imitated very easily. There are devotees within our society who try to imitate such activities. There is one devotee from Africa. He came to Mayapur around 1972, and he was living in a treehouse, chanting 64 rounds, and only eating the remnants from the devotees. So he never came to the program. Even Prabhupada came, he wouldn't come and hear Prabhupada speak. He just chanted his rounds, lived in the treehouse, and then sometime later he started to increase his rounds. I guess he wasn't getting enough popularity. He wanted to become more famous. So he started to increase his rounds above 64. He only ate once a day the leaves that fell from the tree. And still he wasn't getting enough, you know, fame and odor, you know, popularity. And so one day he just left. So the idea is that apparently we may become very renounced and we may give up our eating and sleeping, but generally, unless one has actually practiced in the science of Krishna consciousness. One time this particular devotee said, because he said he wants to increase his rounds, and when Prabhupada was told that, he said this, oh, he wants. In other words, he wasn't doing it in the mood of service to the spiritual master. He was doing it simply to get some fame. So Prabhupada said, as soon as he says, I want, that means, you know, there's some maya there. On the other hand, if one is thinking that I'm doing this as a service to my spiritual master in Krishna, then Krishna and the spiritual master will be there, and one will be able to automatically remember what it means to be a service. So hopefully. So the secret of controlling the senses, just like sometimes we eat too much, not very often we eat too little, usually we eat too much. But sometimes it happens that one will eat too little. One will start thinking, I've been eating too much, and now I'm going to cut my eating down. Especially in the beginning, the devotees tend to go, Bhoga Tyaga. The expression used to be used that when you first join the movement, you should eat so much that you waddle like a duck afterward. And so after a few years of waddling like a duck, you say, probably you're eating too much. Well, you go, I'm a new devotee, you know, they told me. But you've been around for 20 years now, you know. Devotional service is ever fresh, Prabhu. Then one day one thinks, well, I'll cut down my eating. And gradually one cuts down his eating. And then one may eat too little. So eating too much or eating too little, the way of counteracting that is to think of the spiritual master and Krishna, and to think of doing it for their pleasure. And if one is sincerely doing it for their pleasure, then one may get a little glimpse of the transcendental platform, the spiritual platform. And on that platform, one can realize that actually it doesn't really matter how much I eat. I won't be any more satisfied by eating, you know, what's necessary, eating too much. And one feels a little bit more satisfied if one is actually on the spiritual platform. Because if one remembers persons who are self-satisfied, like, say, Prabhupada and Krishna, then one will feel a little self-satisfied also. And this demands of the senses won't seem so pressing. But as soon as we forget eating in relationship to his service, then the result is that we can't forget service, but then we start serving our senses. And the nature of the senses are, you can never satisfy them. So even you fill up the stomach, still the sense to say, there's still a little room left. Just one more. Besides that, look at that, they're enjoying more than you are. Show them. Look, he got an extra sweet ball. Become envious. Yeah, he got an extra sweet ball. Why'd they give him the extra sweet ball? So even though you've eaten past your neck, it's coming out your ears, suddenly you get hungry again. Because they got an extra sweet ball. So, the material platform is there's no satisfaction, there is no end to it until you pass out. And then you wake up and you feel hungry again. But on the transcendental platform, if one actually gets real satisfaction, then one doesn't need the satisfaction on the material platform. Therefore, it's recommended, yuktahara viharasya, one should regulate one's habits of eating and sleeping, etc. Because these things are actually, when they're regulated, then gradually if we increase our transcendental consciousness, then they'll gradually naturally diminish. Because they actually don't give any real satisfaction. The only real satisfaction of eating or sleeping or even mating or defending is the fact that you've satisfied that urge. So if the urge disappears, then you'll always feel satisfied. What actually makes one dissatisfied is the urge. So if the urge is not there, then one feels satisfied. And the satisfaction one gets is by satisfying the urge. Therefore, by regulating these urges and coming to the platform of real satisfaction, then gradually these urges disappear. So the Paramahansa stage is the only real urge is to remain on the transcendental platform, and the material urges don't affect one. So Madhavendra Puri was demonstrating that. So we can't imitate it, but we can try to understand it and therefore regulate our activities at least. Not think that by increasing my sense desires, I'll increase my satisfaction. Actually, by increasing the sense desires, then we increase our dissatisfaction. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maharaj, when you tell a story of Prabhupada Jatra Swami, how he's eating 3 meals a day in the ritual of the city to remember that he was satisfied. But then sometimes when you think of Prabhupada, you may think that everything was difficult for Prabhupada. He came, he had heart attacks, he was trying to do something impossible, and so many things may forget how he was self-satisfied. Maybe you want to give some examples how it was obvious that Sri Prabhupada was always self-satisfied.
Well, as Hari Sarikuru used to say, you know, they used to travel, say, 8 hours on a plane or 12 hours on a plane, they'd arrive and probably just go through his schedule. Get up at the same time, you know, translate his books at night, and everyone else was suffering from jet lag for 2 or 3 days and probably just go on with his schedule. So obviously he wasn't, you know, an ordinary personality. That these persons who were, say, 50 years younger than him, they couldn't follow the schedule. But Prabhupada, you know, followed his schedule, which was quite austere, sleeping 2 or 3 hours a night, maybe 4 hours a night, just going on with his regular schedule, unaffected. Yes?
If someone is doing kufen,
how can you do that? You may not be able to check. But what we do should be done as a service to the spiritual master. So if someone suddenly does something extraordinary, which is not authorized, then we can understand if he's not authorized, if he's not doing it as a service, then it's being done either for gross or subtle sense gratification, no matter how exalted it may seem. So we have to understand what is the authority to do it, under whose authority he's doing it. If one is doing something as a humble service to one's spiritual master and to the disciple succession, then it's authorized. And if it's being done for some other reason, then it's simply being done by one's own willpower. And it probably won't last. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai.